Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord show you favor. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, generally, when you receive something, you have some response. Would you make it right now? Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Bless you. In Jesus' name, make it real, make it palpable, make it transformational in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you, Frida. Frida would preach at the drop of a hat. She's just preaching all time around the house. Get on the phone, she preaches. So I have to watch her. After we'd been married a month or two, she said, I don't know how you do it. You just get up there and just speak and act like you know what you're going to say next. And I said, well, you'll be doing that soon. And she went on to say, and you just go on and on and on and on. And now I kid her. I said, and guess what? Now you just go on and on. Okay, get your Bibles, please. I want to pursue what I said a little while ago. I want to talk to those who have been in a tight, in a pain, in a parenthesis of passion, suffering, hardship. And if somebody told you the story that it's kind of like a fairy tale, you meet Jesus and you live happily ever after. Or if that doesn't work, you can get filled with the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit and talk in tongues and use the gifts. And there's always another experience you can have that will bless you. But despite it all, trouble will come your way. If you don't believe that, just hide and watch. It'll get there. And I have a feeling that those whom God chooses to use the most have had such a commitment to him that he has carefully planned things that happen in their lives to make them richer, more effective, more productive, and so on. I don't know, but I'm rather certain that had I been able to look at what has happened to me for the last, 20 years, I would have said yes. I don't regret a thing. I've been in accidents. I've had things happen to me. I've learned more in moments of hurt than I did in days of glory. So I'm glad for the glory days. But I would not take $1 million for the suffering that is accompanied at times. So I want to talk about the shaking. You're having some shaking take place. If you don't, you will. And if you haven't, it's unusual. You're not exactly the average one. So God knows you, knows what he's doing, knows what's best for you. I want to read a passage from the book of Hebrews. Actually, you know enough to know that the book of Hebrews was written for a people whose lives were unstable. Things had happened to them, great disappointments. And this passage is the most relevant passage for those who know suffering and are in a painful parenthesis of hurt. And I want you to listen to it because I want to answer several questions. This is Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you do not reject the one who speaks. If they did not escape who rejected him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Any doubt about who that is? Any doubt about what he's doing? God is alive, God is talking, and God is making sense if you listen to him. The next thing he says is, his voice, or it says of him, his voice shook the earth. And he says, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. Did you get that? God speaking said, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. I haven't seen that on any refrigerator door, but and folks don't go around memorizing it, but I'm telling you, it's the gospel truth. Now the expression yet once more signifies the removal of what can be shaken. Now listen carefully. That is created things. The shaking has a purpose. So that what is not shaken may remain. I'm going to stop there and just talk to you a little bit about that and then answer the question that's bound to be in your mind as you ask, what am I to do about what I'm enduring? What am I to do? It's a proper question. In fact, it's the most important question. What am I to do right now? Now, if you've suffered before, you know it's going to happen again in some form. And life is filled with crisis. There's the crisis of growing old. I've found it absolutely inevitable if you intend to live. And I learned to deal with that rather philosophically. I've studied the alternative, and I choose life. Yes, I will die if Jesus doesn't come or somehow I get translated in another manner. I will die. I want it to be the last thing I do. And when I die, I want to die all over. I want to die. I don't want to die a thing at a time. In fact, I put in my bed to die without getting sick. I don't like to get sick. So I said, Lord, just, hey, do I have to get sick to die? And so I favor life. I'm excited about growing old. I learned how to get over 80. Turn 81. Next month I'll be getting over 81. I'll turn 82. I intend to do that until at least 100. So I've settled the issue of aging. And if you fear aging, drop it, forget it, stop it. Now there are other things. Crises. But there is not one crisis that heaven has not addressed enough for you to face it with confidence and excitement. Amen. So you're looking at an excited old man. Yeah. There are times that I don't feel excited, but I go ahead and act excited. If you don't feel excited, and you act excited long enough, you'll get excited. Because God will show you some things to get excited about. Don't be like the fellow whose wife said, somebody asked her, do you wake up grouchy every morning? She said, no, I just let him sleep most of the time. Hey, don't get grouchy. You don't have to get grouchy getting old, okay? So you're going to meet crisis. Now, this is what I want to answer. If you don't have the question, I'll give you the question. what in the world is going on? I've never had a time in my life when so many people I know are in a tight, in impossible circumstances. Terminal illnesses, debts that can't be paid, breaks in family structure that are embarrassing and dreadful. I've never known it. I heard somebody suggest that we're living in a day that can be described as critical mass. It seems that everything is going on. Everything unhinged is coming loose. Everything hinged is coming loose. Everything is being shaken. It's time for you and I for us to have a philosophy of hardship. The thing that will draw attention to people who are watching you is to go through something and go through it with your head held high and your voice clear in praising God. Now, you know, last week to me was a disappointing week. I didn't like the ruling of the... I was on the treadmill when my wife told me that it was happening, pointing to a television. I almost fell down. I got irritated. I was a little angry. I'd prayed to God just to swing vote and we could put that thing back with the states. And I just sort of had a little tiff with God. I think I felt like Teresa of Avila might have felt when she said, God, I'm not amazed that you have as few friends as you have from the way you treat the few you've got, you know. But I said, Lord, I am not going to say a thing about this to anybody until I hear what you've got to say. He may say something different to you, but I want you to listen. I'll paraphrase it. Don't have memory enough clear to word for word it. But he said, son, this is not your battle. This is mine. You treat it like a battle, you're going to become a combatant. You're going to become mean. This is my battle. My battles are already won because I'm God. And those you involve yourself in, you shouldn't be fighting, are already lost anyway. And I began to get so happy about what God was telling me, I just picked up on, you have turned my mourning into dancing, taken away my sackcloth, and clothed me with joy. Amen. Hey, if you're perturbed, irritated, I'll tell you one thing you've been doing too much of, watching the news. And if you're really disturbed, you've been listening to the talking heads too much. If you can't keep it in proper sequence and position, just cut the news off altogether until you can make the newspaper reports a prayer list and pray for everybody. Do you realize we've turned loose hate all over the place? Democrats hate the Republicans. Republicans hate the libertarians, and blacks hate the whites, and whites hate the blacks, and we're caught in a vortex of hate all around us. Somebody has to break the cycle and love the hell out of people. You have a weapon of mass construction, and that is love for everybody. One of my sons, has been in Pakistan. In fact, Frida was headed for Pakistan when we fell in love, and she has yet to forgive me for having that canceled because she met me and we had other plans. But my son has been to Pakistan about 17, 18 times. He has fallen in love with Muslims. Is that all right? But he has to keep it quiet for two reasons. One is, people would slam him for loving them. And two, if they found out why he was loving them, they would slam him. because he has in mind they're meeting Jesus. In fact, one of their imams came to America to see him. He called me. He said, I want you to help me entertain him. And this was a big man. He and his son from New York came. And my son had been talking. That's Leif Hetland. And Leif said, I want you to meet him. And told him about me, his papa. He talks to everybody about me as his papa. And so this imam said, can I call you papa? You bet. He never let me ride anywhere in the car except the front seat. He'd take the back. He honored me at every turn. And at supper, when we were speaking, each of us, to him and his son, Zabir, I love you. I'm going to pray for you the rest of my life. I thought I'd never say that. Because, you see, I'd joined the crowd where we hate too large and love too small. So I heard Leif break out his plan called Loving Muslims on Purpose, L-M-O-P. Wristband, L-M-O-P. Loving Muslims on Purpose. At breakfast one morning, he laid that out. And tears were flowing out of Zabir's eyes. And when Leif got through, I thought he'd be bothered because he knows why Leif is there. He talks about Jesus. He talks about God's love. And when he was through, instead of being irritated, Zabir said, through his son, translating, I'm going back to Pakistan to start a movement, Loving Christians on Purpose. Folk, it is God's plan that everybody love everybody with the love God loved us. You say, well, I want to see, that's not, judgment is not your, not on your job description. And so you and I have an opportunity to show what the kingdom of God dictates how its citizens ought to act toward the worst of people. Golden opportunity. Don't flub this one. If you find somebody just so sickening, so absolutely repugnant in every way, just sentence yourself to staying with them until you can love them. Lovelessness is toxic. Shaking's going on. There's more to come. Next question, who's behind it? Now, we can always find somebody to blame. But let me tell you who's behind this. Are you ready for this? It is God who said, once more, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. God is behind this. I didn't say he caused it. I didn't say he carried it out. I said that, I mean, hey, the enemy is active. I'm not sure that he's convinced he's going to lose. So he acts confidently, wildly. The one fault he had, I know he knows it, but he can't help it, is overdoing it. Look at me. We have him exactly where we want him. He is exposing his program. And there is about to be something happening. It is happening as we speak. I'm convinced that we are in the early stages of the greatest move that this earth has ever known, principally because Jesus promised in Matthew 24:14. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the nations as a witness to the nations. Folks, If I were to tell you I could take an hour to do it on the mission fields, they've discovered the kingdom. In pastors' hearts, they've discovered the kingdom. And they've realized that they've made the church the kingdom. And you make the church the kingdom, it gets in the way of God. The pastor becomes the king, the CEO, and the church becomes the program whereby we make the pastor famous and win our way by numbers and statistics. Listen to me. The kingdom of God is not the church, and the church is not the kingdom. When the church finds its way into the kingdom and allows the kingdom to come into it, the world will not know, has never seen, what will happen to those who meet him as the king. And he begins to kingdomize churches everywhere. I know a missionary. I sat in for an hour talking to two missionaries, Malaysia, Singapore, all in that area. They have left one of the largest mission boards, and because they have discovered the kingdom. We sat an hour and I talked to him about the kingdom. I just went on, and I can go on and on about the kingdom. Why you ought to say yes to the kingdom of God. Why you ought to be serious when you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. What are you going to do about that? You want that to be a nice little prayer, or do you want it to be God putting the template of the kingdom on your life and on your business and on your church, and watch God work through his kingdom? And the church taking its place as the recruiting instrument, as the expression means of the church. Didn't aim to get off on that. God is behind it. You say, well, what am I to do about it? Well, you're to thank him that he's still God. Not don't act like he's forgotten who he is. He knows who he is. And I'm determined not to get burdened and upset about anything I can't get him upset about. And I've miserably failed to get him upset, folks. He's unbotherable. And if you think if he thinks like you and us, oh, he's rubbing his furrowed brow. He's wringing his bothered hands. Hey, God is firmly seated on the throne, ruling, which he always has. And he knows his timing, and he's having his way, and it's gonna work, folks. What difference does it make if the score is not in our favor if we win the contest? I think we're in the greatest season we've ever been. I'd rather be alive this season than in any condition I can think about. Who's doing it? Would you agree with me? Who's behind it? God. Oh, it's too mild. Who's behind it?
God.
Next time you hear some news, next time something is crushing disappointment. I know, can't take the devil out of the equation, but God's behind the devil. Knows what he's going to do. Okay, next question. What is it about? What's the issue? Why are we up in arms all over the world? Christians are fighting one another. I mean, we're fighting over grace. We're fighting, we always have, over the second coming, over the rapture, whether it'll take place before, after, during, what. Who cares if the issue is we are a part of a kingdom that will never fade, never fail, never fall, and we ought to be acting like the victors we are. Are you with me? Do you have a few more minutes? Don't be looking bored on me. Some of you are fading a little bit there. What's it about, folks? It's about the Word. It's about the Word. This battle that we're in, has God spoken, and has he spoken the truth? That's what's out there. I just read this morning. 58% of Americans in a poll taken by the greatest pollster of them all would elect an atheist as a president of the United States. That's what we're living in. Oh, you say that's awful. No, no, no. Doesn't change God. And by the way, as far as marriage is concerned, if you have a mule, four legs, and you call his tail a leg, how many legs does he have? Let me tell you something. Calling something, you think it is, when it ain't and never will be, doesn't one thing change. So why be upset? The great lies of the devil are all around. One of the greatest heartbreaks, and we'll settle that in just a minute, is the church has lost its voice. We've not had a thing to say. Because we can't get together and agree. The only grid for unity is the kingdom of God. I'm in the same kingdom as every saved Catholic. And there are saved Mormons. We're in the kingdom together. If we can get kingdom people together, and we will, one way or another. You can take the kingdom foot first or head first. I mean, you're going to get it one way or another. Because God is in the process of restoring the kingdom to the church. So get ready. You say, well, what can I do about it? You can be a part of the first responders. History's pages but record one death grapple in the darkness. Twixt old systems and the word. Right forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. But that scaffold weighs the future. And beyond the dim unknown stands God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. Folks, God reigns. Never has not, never will not. He reigns now. Celebrate it. He's God. There is none like him, none beside him, none after him, none before him. He is God. You need no more time to get over being conquered by something else than it takes to remember that God is still in control. What's happening? Shaking. Who's behind it? God. What's it about? The Word. What'll be the result of the shaking? Why? The shaking out of everything that is not eternal. And by the way, that's what God's doing in your life. If you have latched on to something that you think is the answer, be it becoming a millionaire or becoming a popular name or just winning a quiet happiness with the world as it is. Friend, you're seeking something that is going to disappoint you. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things will be added to you. I think though the context is where you're going to live and what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. That's why we make our money and we spend it that way. But we seek the kingdom first and will never be disappointed. So the end of this is, when God gets through shaking, the only thing that will remain is what can't be shaken. And he is out to do that in the life of everyone who will ascribe to and give themselves to the King of a kingdom now. Would you be willing to say, God, shake, shake on until all that's left is what can't be shaken, so that out of whatever it is that I'm in, I will rise and conquer. One other thing. The latter part of it is like this. Therefore, that's an indicative of something that you would normally think had you listened to what had been said previously. So, once more, I'm going to shake the world. I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken until the only thing left is what can't be shaken. Therefore, listen to this. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, what do you do first? You receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Much of your suffering and mine has been because we have accepted the produce of kingdoms that are fading. We live in a time of financial instability. We always have. And if you've found enough of that stuff called money to give you a sense of security, you're in trouble. It won't last. And it's subtle how we want to seek something that's stable visibly, and we want to worry about it when it is shaken. Receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Praise God. Listen to this. Hold on to grace. Be gracious. Revere God. Worship God. There's something about worshiping God that kind of narrows the situation. You can't worship Him as one of the gods. You can't. What God's doing is killing gods in your life. What God's doing is destructive to the destroyer. Hold on to grace. Worship God. Acceptably. For our God is a consuming fire. So here we go. What's going on? A lot of shaking. Who's behind it? God. What's it about? Getting rid, well, it's about the word. What's the result? Getting rid of everything that does not last. The only relevance anything visible or temporal has is as it relates to the eternal plan of God. If you let its relevance rest in itself, money will destroy you. Fame will ruin you. Seeking after the world and its kind of weird stability won't pay off. God, it'd have been all right with me if He'd ended that chapter in some other way. For a couple of reasons. One is I don't understand it. And two is I don't like it. Our God is a consuming fire. Fire is the ultimate destroyer. What fire can't destroy is what really lasts. You're dealing with fire. Somebody asked me what I thought God was doing, what He meant by all this. I said, frankly, I think He's on an unprecedented fire setting. I think He's setting fires everywhere to burn up what we thought was indestructible. So this is what I want you to do. In your heart, receive the kingdom. I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Just do it anyway. receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Just say yes to the kingdom. Be a first responder in praying like Jesus prayed. And just say yes to him. Father, right now, your eyes have every one of us here in view. I pray right now for a singularizing of our passions. I pray that every one of us will have an idea from heaven about what to do right now about you and your rule and your kingdom. I pray that every disorder, every pain, every disease, every situation that has within it the power to take us down, I pray right now that you'd let us see the kingdom of God. Let it rise. Let it rise. Show us how to say yes to you at the deepest level of our being. Pray that you'd heal people right now. And what I want to do, I want to tell you first that we never have a right to hear anything from God, read any word from God, without expecting it to be transformational. You have no right to leave out those doors exactly how you came. Don't do it. God, what do you want to do in my life? It might be something you've never thought of. It may be something so obvious that you're riveted on it due to the pain. But I want you to do that right now. I want to tell you, you matter to God. You matter to him. You matter to me. You matter to the world. You're important. You've not been forgotten. You've not been devalued. God wants to do a work in every one of our lives today. So with heads bowed, I just want you to do this. We're going to pray in a bit. If you have a physical difficulty, a present pain, or a situation that you almost every hour of the day give some thought to, hoping that it will change, I want you to present that to him with us right here. So, Lord, in the little time that we have here, do something so precise, so clearly, that we'll never forget this moment. If you're a mind to do this and know that you're standing in just a minute, we'll put you on the list for prayer. And we expect God to do something. I want you just to wait a minute. Listen. a touch from God. A liberating touch. A calming touch. Transformational touch. I'm going to ask you, individually, don't expect all of you to stand tall, individually, knowing you need to do that, I want you to stand up, because we're going to pray for you. Not everybody, I want you to have something very specific in mind. Very specific in mind. Andrew, would you come here? This is Andrew Womack. We've just become friends after 40-some years. I want you to pray for us. You and I agree that every person standing gets touched today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I do agree with Jack, and we agree with you, Father, that your will is for every one of us to live in your fullness, to have life and to have it abundantly. So, Father, whatever the issues are, regardless of what people are fighting, we believe that you are above every name. Yes. And we believe that you've given us that authority. So we use that authority right now. And we come against every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Yes. And we cast down sickness. Yes. We cast down depression, fear, grief, sorrow. Yes. Poverty, anything that's come against the name of Jesus. And Father, right now we loose the power of your Holy Spirit and believe that people are being set free. Satan, we refuse to yield to you. We resist you and command you to flee from us right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you praise. We believe that it's a done deal and that from this moment on, your power of your Holy Spirit fills us and controls those things that Satan was trying to occupy. Yes. We receive it. Yes. And we agree and believe it's done right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We agree right now in Jesus' name, according to your word. If any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I claim that with Andrew right now for all of these. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the boldness that we have before you. That if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And if we know you hear us, we know we have what we ask for.
Amen.
We claim it right now.
Amen.
And before we do anything else, you're seated by someone who's standing. I want you to touch them right now. Just touch them. Touch them. There's power in a touch. There's power in a touch. There's power in a touch right now. God's doing something about a critical issue in your life. God's doing something about a business issue. God's doing something right now. I want you to receive it. I want you to accept it. There may be an exact, precise result right now. You need to share that with somebody before you leave. But it's going to happen because it has happened. I had a conversation with God more than 40 years ago. I was having an asthma attack. And God just whispered, I want to heal you. I couldn't have thought of that. I hadn't even thought of it. It wasn't a serious thing, but it was terribly inconvenient. I said, okay, what do I do? He said, you need to believe that I want to. I said, well, sure I do. He said, you need to believe something else. You need to believe that I will, that I can. I said, well, sure you can. He said, you need to believe I will. I said, well, I believe you will. You said you would. He said, you need to believe one more thing. You need to believe I have. I said, Lord, I'd be glad to believe you have when you do. He said, that's not the way it works. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, you receive, and you will have it. And I found that a component. So I went to bed, walked by the dresser. My breathing, little breathing instrument was there, and I reached for it. And God said, hold it, hold it. What's that about? I said, well, that's just in case, maybe. He said, doesn't work like that. So I went to bed wheezing. Woke up every 30 minutes wheezing. Finally, deep in the night, the wheezing stopped. You can look at me now. Hey, I've never had asthma again. Never, ever again. Believe that you're received, and you have. It's not manipulative. It's responding to truth. God bless you. I love you, man. Tell them what you told me when I first met you.
Hey, man. Well, you can sit down, I think. I just came today because I wanted to thank Jack. It was 42 and a half years ago, and my wife and I had just gotten married, and when we got married, I made a decision that I was going to go full-time in the ministry. So I quit my job, which was probably not smart, but that's what I did. And we were starving, and we were served an eviction notice that we were going to be evicted the next morning. And Jack was ministering in Greenville, Texas. So we drove over there all the way and sang Psalms chapter 27 all the way. The Lord is my light and my salvation. We went over there believing God for a miracle. And he preached on what, I don't remember what you titled it, but I always call it the rod of God, where Moses threw his rod down, and then it became the rod of God. And he talked about the authority that we had, and it was a special word from God for me. So I went up and asked Jack to pray for me because, it was the end of my ministry after 2 months. And Jack prayed with me, and it's quite a story. But anyway, I needed $160 by 8 o'clock in the morning, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, I went home, and my wife and I took that teaching and laid hands on a folding chair. That's about all we had. And I said, if this thing has to turn into money, I command it to turn into money, but in the name of Jesus, our needs meant. And at 3:30 that morning, I got $160, exactly what we needed. And it was a turning point in my life. And since then, I've taken that message and have preached it 100 or 1,000 times. I've got an entire series on it. And so I came today just to say thanks, Jack, for praying for me. I might not have been in the ministry if it hadn't have been for you and your ministry.
Well, most of you know that he's come to be a citizen of the same county. And I'm glad he's here. I'm coming to one of his meetings. Thank you for letting me come. Folks, receive it. Receive it. I have never had a need and brought it to God, but he did something about it. Not on my timing, but it's real. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.